I am speechless. And but I've got a 45-minute message still to preach today. So I'm going to try to shorten it to about 15 minutes. And so if you have an appointment at noon, shame on you. But we do have sandwiches, and the ladies have done a fabulous job, and I thank them, and I thank the deacons and Sonia for coming out. It is a special time. We wanted the children up here because we know that there will be few opportunities for them to see an ordination. And so I know it's a difficult time, but I'm glad they were here. I just want to quickly talk. We've been going through a series on the one another passages, and I specifically chose this one another for today because I think it best reflects who I am. I just tell you, I'm so honored to be here and to be ordained. Some of my friends who even were a part of my ordination in the Christian church over 40 years ago commented on Facebook to me, and I really appreciate it makes it official, but it's an important step when they laid hands on Paul and Barnabas in Acts 13 and sent them out. It was a setting apart, so I feel very honored and very humbled. I'm not a perfect man. If you didn't realize that already, please talk to my wife. I have one desire in life, and that is to please our Heavenly Father. We've been on a journey studying all of these one another passages with one thing in mind, that we would become more mature in Christ. It is our passion, and it should be our passion, to not settle for anything less than maturity in Christ. There's a lot of things. We need to take that clock off the wall, Max. It just, and I know you, everybody tells me, Bob, you worry about the clock, don't worry about the clock. So I'm just not going to worry about the clock. Thank you, Shane. I love music, and there is a song that I love. I have the words to the song in my Bible. I have the words on a plaque in my office. It's a song that I resonate to so much. If there is one song that I think identifies who I am best, it is this song. Barb's going to play the video, and that's my hesitation. You really need to see the video, and so it's going to add about 47 minutes. No, it only isn't going to add about 4 minutes. You have the words in your bulletin to this song by Gloria Gaither that she wrote nearly 40 years ago. It's called I Then Shall Live. The video that you're going to see is the Gaither Vocal Band singing together with another quartet called the Ernie Haas and the Signature Sound. So I'm going to have her play we're going to focus. There's a reason I'm playing the song. It's not just because I like the song, because it's going to be part of each of the points of my sermon. So, would you play it, Barb?
As one. live as one who's learned compassion. I've been so loved that I'll risk loving too. I know how fear builds walls instead of bridges. I'll dare to see another's point of view. And when relationships demand commitment, then I'll be there to care.
With those words in mind, let us now turn to our key passage and see what this one another is that I think so reflects me, because you need to know who I am. Galatians 6, 1 and 2, Paul writes to the church in Galatia, he writes these words, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught into sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in the same way you fulfill the law of Christ." You see, Paul concludes his very first epistle by reminding the church of Galatia that the people of faith, that there's going to be sin, and that we need to restore them gently, that restoration process is painful and difficult, but it's essential. But the only way it is accomplished is if we come alongside that person and carry their burden with them. I believe God has called me to come along people to help carry their burdens. Three quick points to the sermon. Number one, each of the points, by the way, comes from each of the verses of the song, the thoughts that I find there. Number one, if I'm going to carry each other's burdens, I need to know that I will live forgiven and forgiving. Central to the carrying of one another's burden is the fact that I must be right with God, that I need to realize as a child of God, and you need to realize today that every one of us, God has already forgiven us for what we've done when we ask. I need to, in like manner, be able to forgive. Some of us have been hurt very deeply, and the pain and the scars are very deep. But as the song says, so greatly pardoned, I forgive my brother. It is often a time-consuming process, but it is a process that it takes for us to forgive. But we need to keep working at forgiveness. But we must learn to forgive just as we have already been forgiven. Then carrying someone's burdens does not become a drudgery, but a privilege. Now we move to the second point, which is, I will live as one who cares. I will live as one who cares. We joke about what we want on our caskets, on our headstones, in our graves. James Dobson's mother, he used to say, his mother always said that what she wanted on her gravestone was, I told you I was sick. I don't know what I would want on air. I have to admit that what comes to mind quickly is I guess I would want people to know that I cared. Someone has said people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That is absolutely a true fact. And that care needs to be genuine and from the heart. And it needs to come with no strings attached. It's probably the one thing that I would want to leave with each of you, and that is that I really care about you. But I realize there's a couple of things about caring that this song also communicates. Letter A, relationships can be risky. Look around the room. There's some pretty risky people in this room. I hope that would get a laugh. But if we're going to be Christ followers, and God has called us to be that very thing, Christ followers, we need to be building relationships with people who may not listen to us, who may not agree with us, who may not share our point of view. And that's exact words in that song. They may even hurt us, but God's word is clear that if we're going to carry each other's burdens, we're going to have to step out of our comfort zone and risk loving someone who may not be like you and me. But the rewards of risking are so overwhelming. When I first started Celebrate Recovery 8.5 years ago, 9.5 years ago. And especially the jail ministry, I never knew how my life would change. Some of those people that we ministered to in that ministry are here today because we risked ourselves to step out and build relationships. Now, you don't have to go to jail. You don't need to work in the jail. But I am sure there are people in your lives who you would call a risky relationship that you need to draw closer to. We have wonderful invitation cards. I don't know if they, oh, it's down here. We have wonderful invitation cards. They're out there in the foyer. Please pick one up. We want you to invite somebody, just one person that you know that is far from God. Well, I want you to take that card and invite them to come to our Easter service in 3 weeks. It's a simple thing to do. It breaks the ice. I love risky people. I really do. My wife thinks I gravitate to them. If somebody's got a problem, I just automatically gravitate to them. There's a video I saw on Sarah Brown's Facebook page a couple of weeks ago. And Barb, have we got that ready to play? This is just absolutely the most fabulous little video clip. Watch this. That video clip is called Everybody Needs a 50. We all need a number 50 to come alongside us, to come alongside us and help us. Sometimes it takes a risk, but that's okay. It's important. Point B, relationships expect commitment and care. It goes without saying that if you develop a genuine relationship, it must be built around commitment. They need to know that you're committed to them in the good days and the bad days. You see, that is how the church operates at its core. I or the deacons don't have to do all of the work. We just need to make sure the work gets done. Let me just give you an example of this. I visited the oldest member of our church. She's almost 93. And I was visiting her. And in our conversation, she said to me, I asked her how things were, and she said, oh, she's always upbeat. There's never a thing wrong, never a thing wrong. But she was telling me that there's a little draft in the front door that needs to be resealed or something. And she said, the only complaint I have, my landlord won't do anything about it, is here I am, almost 93 years old, and he's got this stool in the bathroom that's so low. She said, I need a new toilet that's a tall one. And so Bob the plumber or should I say Bob the non-plumber, see, it's not that you get the job done, it's that you know the right people that can get the job done. So I mentioned to a couple of our men that this wonderful lady, Peggy Flynn, had these issues. The next day, one of the men took care of the door, and a week or so later, they got permission from the landlord to put a taller toilet in there for her, and now she's, I won't say she's jumping for joy, but she's very happy. But you see, that's how the church works. It's not that I have to do everything or Vaughn has to do everything or Anna Mae or the Nurture Commission has to do everything. It's that when people have a need that we reach out and minister to them and show them that we honestly care about them. Point number three, I will live reflecting Christ. Look at the last words of that song. Your kingdom come around and through and in me. Your power and glory, let them shine through me. Your hallowed name, oh, may I bear with honor, and may your living kingdom come in me, and the bread of life, Oh, may I share with honor, and may you feed a hungry world through me. We need to reflect our Maker. We need to reflect Christ in everything that we do as we carry each other's burdens. They don't need to see you. They need to see Christ living in you. We need to take our ego out of the equation and just live for Him. This is what Paul says in Colossians 1:27. To them, God has chosen to make Him known among the Gentiles. The glorious riches of this mystery, what a great word, mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. As we let Him lead and forget about who gets the credit, transformation takes place in both us and those that we share life. The song concludes with a stunning picture as they sing the final amen. They come together forming a circle, 8 men, 2 quartets, all capable of singing solos and being louder than the person next to them. And yet they sang as one voice. You could not tell which one was which voice. So it is in the church. We need to speak with one voice. And that's my conclusion. I want to live united. Today we have circled this room in an unbelievable display of unity. That's how Christ would have us to live, reflecting Him in a unified church as we carry each other's burdens. Our closing song this morning